You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14 chapter. This is where we were last week. We didn't finish up there. We've been teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. Everybody say gifts of the Spirit. Now, you know, some people say, well, you know, not every church believes in that. Well, I understand that. Not every church believes lots of the Bible, you know. There's churches that believe parts of the Bible and half the Bible and three-quarters of the Bible. We just happen to believe all the Bible. But you might ask, you know, what in the world do you do in teaching on the gifts? Well, it's in the Bible. Yeah. Right. Are you out there? And the gifts, there's one thing that Paul made very plain. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning spiritual gifts. So it's actually the thing we're probably the most ignorant of in most churches, and yet it's the thing that we shouldn't be ignorant of. And Paul gave us chapters in the Bible concerning them. I mean, the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the 14th chapter. We often talk about 13th chapter being the chapter of love, but it was sandwiched in there between the 12th and the 14th to talk about how to use the gifts. That's what the point of it was that we ought to use the gifts in love. And so although it is a love chapter, it actually was instruction or policy on how the gifts should flow and what the gifts are about and how we should operate in the things that God has anointed us and gifted us with. So love is how we do everything. Yes. Yes. Isn't that right? Love's not a replacement for anything. Love is how we do everything. Love is a way. Love is not a gift in that sense. Love is not something God has just given us in that sense. Love is how we do things. It's the attitude we do things with. It's the manner in which we do things. So he's not saying love as opposed to tongues, love as opposed to gifts of prophecy, love as opposed to word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gifts of certain spirits, gifts of healings, interpretation of tongues, so on and so forth. He's not saying either or. He's saying do all those in love. Because if you do those without love, it's sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. If I sell everything I have and give everything I have to the poor, it profits me nothing if I don't do it in love. Amen? So love's how I do everything. I can stand up here and preach the word and be hateful and mean and just rake you over the coals and leave your feet dancing in the flames. Are you with me? Hang you over hell where you can feel the heat. Woo! Walk out of here and I'm telling you what, you're just sweating from head to toe. But if I didn't tell you how to get saved, if I didn't tell you there was an answer to that, if I didn't tell you you don't have to go to hell, you can go to heaven, I missed the whole point. If I didn't tell you God loved you and he's for you and not against you and God wants you to come to him, you can come out of that sin, hallelujah. You can be set free. You can get over that addiction. You know, maybe you've done a lot of bad things in your life. Join the club. We got a church full of them right here. But we're not in the past. We're going forward, amen. We've all sinned, but hey, we found the answer. We were all going to hell, but now we're going to heaven. See, we preach hope and the good news and help and healing and a cure. And we have to preach in love. Even when I'm up here talking against sin, controversial subjects of the day, when I'm talking about things that are in the headlines all the time, you know, gay marriage and abortion and all those things that we are against. We are against homosexuality and we are against abortion, but we are not against the woman that had the abortion. We're not against the man or woman that has committed the homosexual act. Are you with me? We're against the sin. God loves them and wants them to come to him. And we don't always want an open door for anyone in any sin that wants to come to Jesus. There's no condemnation. We're not throwing stones. We got no stones to throw. Are you with me? But we are for people. We're just against sin. We have to make that clear. Are you with me? Because then if we're not careful, we'll become redneck Christians. And we'll have redneck Christianity. And we're just mad as all get out about everything going on in the world. We're mad at everything going on in the government. We're mad about all the decisions the Supreme Court's make. We're mad about people living their own lives without any view of God or any focus on God. We're just mad at everybody. We're hateful and mean. Are you with me? Well, who would want to be like us and who'd want to come to us if we're that way? We're supposed to be the ones that have some hope and help. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, there's a balance. Yeah, we're against sin. I don't think there's any question there. I don't care what the government says. I'm going to stand up and talk about what's right and what's wrong. The government doesn't determine what I preach or what I teach. Are you with me? I was called by God, not by the government. Thank you for your enthusiasm. And so I'm not going to back off that, but I'm not going to be hateful either. I'm not going to be mean either. I'm going to pray for our government, pray for our president. Man, he needs our prayers. Okay, I'm going to quit. So in the gifts, he talks about the gifts should be operated in love, and he has a whole chapter on that. And then he talks about policy or polity, you might say, in a church, how the gifts should operate. You know, in some churches you have what we call extreme Pentecostal. We're Pentecostal in experience. I mean, we believe in the, Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Acts 19. We believe in being baptized with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. We believe in gifts of the Spirit in the church. When a tongue is given, it should be interpreted. And a prophecy is given, it should be recognized, and people should hear it. We're not for for showboating. We're not for people just taking over a service. But we do want the gifts to flow, and we want the church to benefit from them. But sometimes in what we call extreme Pentecostal churches, and God bless them, we're not against them, we're not against people. It's chaotic in a church. I mean, someone has a tongue, and I mean, they just jump up and start hollering and screaming without any recognition and start running around and going crazy. And there are times for that. Sometimes I can get crazy too. Hello. But I think that's what we relate to when we think of tongues or we think of gifts. We think of the extreme. And really, that's the devil's ploy to get us to think of the error or think of the misuse or abuse. And so what happens is we just don't use it at all. We quit it altogether because we don't want that kind of craziness. We don't want that kind of abuse. So bless God, we're just not going to do it. Well, now, wait a minute. We're throwing the baby out with a wash. Are you out there? You know, I've been in houses where they had kids and they cry and they mess up their diapers and they smell and all that stuff. Well, we're just not going to have that. So we're just not going to have babies? No, we're just going to help them when they cry. We're going to change their diaper when it gets dirty. Are you with me? So you can't say, well, I'm just going to throw this out. And I believe that's what's happened in a lot of churches. And God bless them. There's some good churches. Love God. People going to heaven, our brothers and sisters, meeting today in our town that we are for. We're for Baptists and Methodists and all these churches. We're not against churches. But I think the error has come is that we've gone from one side of the ditch to the other side of the ditch. We've tried to correct one error with another error. And we've just thrown it all out and said, okay, let's just don't do it. And that's not what Paul was saying. He was, in fact, emphatically, he makes a point here. He says, do not forbid to speak with tongues. Don't forbid to speak with tongues. But he says, let's do all things decently and let's do it in order. And I like that because we should do these things. We should do these things. But we should do these things in an orderly manner. And that's why he takes it apart. You got a whole chapter, 14th chapter, on how they should flow and how they should work in a service. You know, as far as a tongue, when a tongue is given, there should be an interpretation to that tongue. And that's the way we operate here. And you see that often if you come here very often at all. Last week we had a tongue interpretation, I think the week before. Brenda had a tongue one time. Mari had a tongue, I think the last three or four weeks. Vivian had a tongue. Got up and gave a tongue that I interpreted that tongue. That's proper. That's right in line with the scripture. Are you with me? And then Eva's had a prophecy, a word of encouragement that's come before, and it's proper when it's in its place. Now, for someone just to interrupt my preaching, are you with me? And just start speaking in tongues while I'm preaching, that would be interruption. That would not be order. That would be out of order. Are you out there? And I would not let you continue to do that. Because I always say, if you get crazy, I can get crazy. We hope it doesn't get crazy, are you with me? Because we want tongues interpretation, but we just want them in a proper place where everybody benefits, and the Holy Ghost doesn't interrupt the Holy Ghost. When I'm up here ministering, did you know, you might not realize this, but I was called to this. I'm called, just like you're called to be here, I'm called to be here, and I'm called to be the pastor. And when I'm up ministering, I hope you're praying and believing that I'm ministering under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So what I'm preaching here is the Holy Spirit moving. What I'm preaching here is the anointing of God going on. So for the Holy Ghost to interrupt the Holy Ghost, because that's what we're talking about. I mean, if we have carte blanche, if anybody has a tongue or anybody has a word, they can just stand up and interrupt whatever's going on in the service. That almost sounds like you're interrupting what the Holy Spirit's already doing. So there's a time for that. Just wait and hold it. Are you with me? And when I get through, well, you know, if you have something, be recognized. Or if the songs play, wait till the song's over. Are you with me? That just makes perfect sense. That way the Holy Ghost is flowing, but there's order also. And everybody benefits from it. And if a tongue's to be given, there should be an interpretation. He just goes over and over and over that fact. Now, in the 26th verse, y'all found 1 Corinthians 14? I'm going to give you plenty of time to get there. 1 Corinthians 14. Man, I love that. Don't you love the word? And I want to flow in all that God has available. I believe that we need everything that God has available. But we want to do it right. We don't want to do it wrong. 26 verse, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, here we are coming together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying, or to the building up of the church. Let it be done in a way that everybody benefits from it, because that's what it's about. Let's don't confuse gifts with spirituality. Sometimes somebody will move in a tongue or interpretation, and we'll think, wow, man, they are spiritual. But actually, we're all spiritual if we're born again. God doesn't love any one person more than another. I think sometimes when someone's prone to give a prophecy that God uses them that way, and or they'll give a word or they'll give a tongue or interpretation, everybody else gets the idea that they're on a higher level, and they actually walk around them thinking, you know, better be careful, they might have a word, or I'll go to them and talk, see if they have a word for me.
Oh, yeah.
And so it almost comes like a go-between between you and God. We don't need a go-between between us and God. We got Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. And we got his word we can always go to. Now, if God chooses to move on someone to tell me something, call me Jimmy, I'll take all you give me. But I'm not going to seek that out. I'm going to seek out God. I'm going to seek the Lord, amen? I'm going to call on him and look to him, not to any one person. But I'm open for God to minister to anybody, through anybody to me. Does that make sense? You don't want to get imbalanced there in that area. We want to do everything that in a manner that will edify. That's the whole point of the gifts. It's not to exalt me. If I give a tongue interpretation, or if I give a prophecy, or word of knowledge, word of wisdom, doesn't mean I'm any more spiritual than anybody. It's just God chose to use me to do that. I'm up here preaching. I get a lot of compliments on my teaching. People talk about how good my teaching is, how it makes them, you know, it's simple. And that's great. That's good. And it should be. And I appreciate that. But I'm not under no delusion. I'm not any smarter than anybody else. Are you with me? I'm not any better than anybody else. I just happen to be the one God called to do this. Are you out there? And I do believe that. I believe God called me to do it. And I believe there is an anointing on me. And I believe you are going to get something if you'll listen to me. Or I wouldn't be up here. But I don't take that personally. I can't be arrogant about that. I can't be proud of that because it wasn't anything I did. Hello. Doesn't mean I'm any more spiritual. Just means I'm the one called to do this. Just like there's nobody like you, there's nobody like me. It's a gift. And you're a gift. We're all gifts to each other. There are things about you that nobody else can do, nobody else can duplicate. We're all unique. Amen? Wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. But we all are gifted to help others. We're gifted to edify. That's what he's saying here. And then he goes on, 27 verse. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most by three. Now, we've already covered that when a tongue's given, an interpretation should be given. Here he's talking about the frequency of it. Like a service shouldn't be just filled with tongue interpretation for hours on end. In fact, he talks about a balance here. He said, if any man speaks in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three. Meaning, you know, say Brenda gives a tongue. This is the way I see this. Brenda gives a tongue, and somebody interprets. I interpret, maybe Eve interprets. Mari gives a tongue, okay. And then somebody interprets, and then maybe Vivian would give a tongue, and somebody interprets. Well, that should be it, all right? Now, there's two ways you can look at that. You can say, well, it's two or three tongues or two or three people. It sounds like it's two or three people. Wouldn't argue about it. You can still go to heaven believing either one of those. Aren't you glad? Okay. It's because I don't believe you have to add to John 3:16. You have to believe it's three tongues or three people given tongues. But I think in the context of it, he's talking about let it be by two at the most by three and let one interpret. Always he's talking about the interpretation. Y'all see that? Sure, it's getting quiet in here. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or the most by three, and that by course, not all at the same time, not interrupting each other, and let one interpret. But always let somebody interpret this thing in a public forum, in a public service. If I'm standing up here, I've got to be speaking words that you can understand. Amen? And if you stand up to give something, if you give a tongue, there should be interpretation to that tongue. He's not talking against tongues. He's talking about order of it in the church. Amen. If there's no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. What? I thought if I had something from God, I'd just get up and give it. Bless God, nobody's going to stop me. Now, just hold on. No, hold on, sister. Well, no, I'm not holding on. God's all over me. I got to give this. Well, now, wait a minute. Hold on, because the Bible says you can keep silent. Are you out there? Y'all catching what I'm saying? And we've had that happen in every church that believes in the gifts has had a little abuse there. It happens. Sometimes we get to thinking, I'm feeling the presence of God here. I got to give this. Well, I understand that, but later on he even talks about the spirit of the prophet subject to the prophet. If you have something, you can hold on to it. This is not where God just takes you over and you have no will of your own. You still have your will. And that's why he's given us instruction, because as long as we have wills, as long as we have choices, we can choose wrong, and they had been doing that at Corinth. They'd been kind of just taking over services, and there was no order in the service. He wasn't against gifts. He wasn't talking against the gifts. He wasn't downplaying the gifts. What he was against was disorder and confusion. Woo, hallelujah. And that's true with anything. How many of you ever had a special? You ever heard a good special here in the church? That'd be, everybody's actually heard one. Okay, put your hand up. Okay. And because that would be a lot more hands than saying whoever had a good special to say. You know, it's interesting that when we do a special, usually we'll let them come up front, give them a microphone, and we all sit down and listen to it. Notice it's not sung during our worship or in the middle of my message. Because we want everybody to benefit from it, right? It's still a gift, maybe different than, say, a gift of tongue, gift of interpretation. But the point is we want everyone edified. How many of you ever heard me preach? Amen. Okay, I'm not preaching during the worship or during the offering as they're passing the buckets out and the music's playing. You know, it's just, it's a gift, but it's a gift that we want to put in an order or a manner that everybody benefits from. And so everything we do, you want to keep in mind, how am I helping somebody else? How am I blessing them? Well, how can I make this simpler? How can I make this get inside of people? It's not a matter of me just getting it out. It's a matter of me getting it in. Everybody communicates, but few connect. We want to connect with people. And God wants the gifts to connect. He doesn't want them just to be done for the sake of being done. He wants them to be done to help others, to bless others, to edify, to build up. And to do that has to be a certain amount of order. You know, some people get all out of whack about having, set times for church and a building to meet in. But the problem is if you don't have a set time, then when are you going to meet? As soon as you say we're going to meet, you got to say sometime. That's order, and that's not anointed, but, I mean, you got to do that for the anointing. Make sense? Or else I'd start teaching here, nobody would be here. I mean, if I came down here at 3 o'clock Saturday morning and preached a hot message, but didn't tell anybody, I'd be blessed. But you wouldn't benefit. So there's an order even to a service. We have an order. We come here. We come a certain time. We meet a certain day. Are you with me? And we have a certain order to the service, always open to the Holy Spirit to move any time in the middle of all that. But, you know, order is a good thing. God's got order. Y'all, I got this security thing with my finger. You know, your fingerprint security you can put on your phone now. All you do is just touch it, and it comes on. That's my password. It's my finger. The only problem is you have to remember which finger you did it with. My brother called me the other day. He set it up about a week ago. Anybody know my brother? Y'all? Yeah. If you've ever been here in a service, you know my brother. But anyway, he called me the other day, and he says, wow, he said, I'm locked out of my phone. I said, what? And he said, well, you showed me how to do that finger thing? I said, yeah. And he said, I did. I set it up. And I said, well, good. What's the problem? He said, I can't remember which finger I used. And I said, well, you got 10 of them. Just go through the list, you know. One of them's going to open it up. Anyway. Oh, I thought about that. I had to open it up anyway. So he goes on and says this. If there is no interpreter, let him keep silent. Everybody said, let him keep silent. What does that tell me? That tells me that I can hold on to it. I can not just hold on to it. I can actually not give it. Yeah. Well, I couldn't help myself. Well, if you couldn't help yourself, we need to pray for you. Are you with me? I mean, I understand the pressure. I understand the desire. I understand the passion. I've had the Spirit move on me and been checked to stop, not give it. And it's tough, but I can still do it. I can do it. I can hold on to it. I can wait for a proper time. Or maybe God want me to give it to somebody individually, maybe after the service. Sometimes it comes on me before the service. It doesn't mean you're supposed to give it right then. You need to be, look, now you got something from the Lord. Now let's do it God's way. Okay, we got something from the Lord. Let's continue to stay on that track. Let's see what God says about giving it and when to give it and look for the proper time. Amen? And see what the order is there. So he says, let them keep silence if there's no interpreter. That would mean, obviously, if you're in another church, and maybe not a church like ours that doesn't believe in the gifts, and you feel like you have something, you need to hold on to it. Because if you're not sure if somebody's going to interpret that, then you might give up and give that tongue, and then that may be the last thing you say in that church before they haul you out. Because they may not do that in most churches. Are you with me? I wouldn't think that a lot of churches, and it's sad because the Bible does say forbid not to speak with tongues, yet it is forbidden in some churches. 29th verse, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. See, there again, he didn't want a service just to be a service of just anybody comes in, takes it over. Oh, we've got prophecies, we're going to be prophesying all service. Or we got tongues, we're just going to be giving tongues, interpretation all service. There should have been an order to services, and evidently there was a misuse here. There was an abuse here. The abuse was not that they believed in the gifts. The abuse was not the fact that they spoke in tongues. The abuse was not that they prophesied. The abuse was not that they flowed in these other gifts. The abuse was that they misused them. Are you catching this? And so what we've done, we've made it sound like the abuse was those things going on in the church. No, those things should go on in the church. They just should be done properly. That's what he's addressing here. And so he even gets to prophecies, and he says, let the prophets, I'm having trouble with this thing here, let the prophets, and I don't think he's talking about the office of a prophet. He's just talking about those that prophesy, just like he's saying, let he that gives a tongue. The tongue talkers, let them do this. The prophesiers, let them do this. I don't think he's addressing the office. I know some people would say, well, he's talking to the resident prophets in the church. There weren't always resident prophets in the church. Are you with? Prophets moved around quite a bit. He's not addressing those that are like Agabus the prophet in the New Testament. He's addressing people that prophesy in the church, just like he's addressing people that give a tongue in the church. So it's more the function, not the office. Let the prophets prophesy. I like David would give a prophecy. I've given a prophecy. I'm not a prophet in office, but I prophesy. It really doesn't have a lot of meaning if you say it's just the office of a prophet. But those that prophesy, let it be by two. Again. Order again. Let's don't just have continual prophecies during the whole service. Let's have our worship. Let's have the gifts flowing. Let's have teaching. And not to say we couldn't have an unusual service where God would fall, but normal track of events, course of events, this is the way it should work. Make sense? Okay. Y'all tracking with me? Okay. Let's go on. He says this. I keep losing my place here on my iPhone. Let the prophets speak two or three, in other words, those that prophesy, and let the other judge. Everybody say judge. Just because someone says, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean it is the Lord. If we're to prophesy correctly and encourage people correctly and edify people, I've got a word for you, Paul. You know, I look at Paul and I say something to Paul. He shouldn't take that verbatim as the Holy Ghost if it doesn't line up with a word or even what's in your own spirit. If I told you, I believe the Lord wants you to move to this other city. Well, hold on. Now we're getting into something real tricky. We're getting into direction there. We're getting into a word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I like what Lester Summerall said one time. A couple came to him in his church and said, hey, somebody prophesied over us. We should go to India. What do you think we ought to do? And he said, well, I think you ought to take them with you. And they said, why? He said, well, you're going to have to hear God to come back, aren't you? You know, like if you don't already have the Lord speaking to you about something, if most prophecy just confirms what you already know or have already heard. If you haven't already heard that, then you don't need to step out on what someone else said. You know, I shelf everything if I don't have a witness on it, if I hadn't heard it in my spirit. But many times people say things that I've really been praying about. You know, sometimes I'll have a word. That's exactly what I've been praying about. I've been deciding what I want to do there, and all of a sudden I got a confirmation. See, I am a spirit. You're a spirit. God's a spirit. God speaks to our spirit. I can hear God. You can hear God. The gifts mainly come and confirm. God confirms the word with signs following. And gifts do that. If something new comes out of a gift, you need to be cautious. Hold on. It should confirm something in you or confirm what's already written. That's why we need to judge prophecy, to make sure it's in line with the word and it's in line with what God's speaking to you. You know, 1 week at Lakewood Church years ago, before I came up here and started pastoring, I had three different people came up to me that had a word for me. One of them prophesied that I would get a bus and I would be traveling all over Mexico and ministering. Another one said that I would be an evangelist and I'd go out and evangelize. Another one said I would be a pastor. Now, the pastor was right. Are you with me? I just thanked them all and walked away and thought, crazy charismatics. And I believe in the gifts. I do believe in the gifts. One of them was right. I didn't even know it at the time. Didn't pay attention to any of them. Are you with me? Because I hear God. I pray. I seek God. I have things in my heart to do. And I just kept doing what I was doing. And as I look back, I saw one of them did have some sin of truth to it. Are you with me? I never bought a bus. Are you with me? Never was an evangelist. Although we all do the work of an evangelist. But I never was in that office. But I did become a pastor. Are you with me? I've had words that agreed with what was in my spirit and some that didn't. I remember somebody prophesied, Ruthie and Bill Dearman were over the missions at Lakewood Church years ago. We're talking about in the early, 70s, and then we started going in 1975 to Lakewood Church. And Ruthie prophesied over me before I ever I taught one class at Lakewood just briefly at one Sunday morning. I was only about 20. I'd preached at a church that we were all going to because Brother Osteen was dedicating a church in Markham, Texas. And I had preached there one time. I was just 20, 21. I'd just been saved a couple of years. And so I hadn't itinerated and I hadn't even really preached at Lakewood. I think I might have done one class, one Sunday morning session. And we were all in the church van going down to Markham, Texas. And there was Brother Osteen and Doty and Bill and Ruthie and some other people you wouldn't know. He wouldn't know who they were. But anyway, Ruthie had a word for me. She said, I've got a word for you. And she was sitting in one seat, and Brother Osteen was between us, and I was in the next seat. And Brother Osteen grabs me and just pulls me halfway over the seat and says, you got to hear this. She really hears from God, you know. And I said, okay, Brother Osteen. So I'm leaning over the seat, you know. And she prophesies over me, and she says that my ministry would burst forth like a butterfly from a cocoon, and there would be wisdom in my wings, and I would counsel with older men. It's a strange thing to say. I was 21, 22. I thought, wow, that's amazing. And I wrote it down on the back of a notebook I had and put it up literally on the shelf in a closet. I put it on the shelf. A couple years later, I was head counselor at Lakewood Church. We had 175 counselors underneath us. And I was teaching in the auditorium class at that time. The auditorium class, Sunday mornings you'd start out is in the auditorium. That's why they call it the auditorium class. And I started out with 400 or 500 people, and then by the time I got through, that was at 9:30 to 9:45, because we'd quit at 9:45. I had 45 minutes to teach every Sunday morning, and because we had to clear out for the service. Is that right?
He said 9:30 to 9:45.
9:30, 10:15, excuse me. 9:30, 10. See, you don't have to do math to preach. You just have to be able to preach. At 10:15, I would get through, and there'd be 4,000 people there. So that's where I came from there to Wills Point, Texas. But anyway, I was going through some old notes at my apartment one time, or the house at that time, and I ran across that notebook. I had completely forgotten about that prophecy. And I pulled it out, and there it was. And I was the head counselor at Lakewood Church and teaching in the classes at the church. And I thought, wow. Now, see, the Holy Ghost knows what's going on. I believe in the gifts. Are you with me? But see, I didn't operate on that. I didn't try to push that, make that happen. In fact, at the time, I didn't really understand what it meant. I didn't really know what that all was. But I wrote it down. Thank God for it. Put it up. And I looked back, and it confirmed what was going on. So gifts are real. They're good. We want them. Amen? Call me Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. But, you know, you have to use wisdom with the gifts like you do anything. And God doesn't want you to just step out on a gift. If someone gives you a word, hold on to that thing. If it confirms something, hallelujah. If it doesn't, hey, put it away. Write it down. Don't give up on it. It may come back later. You may see, hey, that was God. I've seen that happen time and time again. Amen? Amen? All right. Y'all have to do something. Say something. So it says here, it says, let the prophet speak two or three, let the other judge. He's talking about a church service, because we don't want chaos there either. If we have prophecies, words that are coming forth, then let's do them in order and let it be by two again, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. I like that, because you don't want confusion, you don't want interruption. If you have two people and they both have something, one starts to say something, another guy interrupts them, you better let the guy that interrupts him go ahead and finish, because he's already interrupted. He's probably not going to sit down. You're just going to make a scene. It doesn't really matter who gives it, as long as it's given. So just be kind, sit down, let him finish. That makes sense? Don't hit him in front of everybody in the church and knock him to the ground and say, I got it first. I'm first. You sit down, be quiet. Well, first of all, we're not going to get anything you say from then on. You know, it's not going to be good. So he says this. He says, if anything's revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. Let the other guy finish. For you may all prophesy. Those that prophesy, those that flow in that gift, we're not trying to damper or kill the gift. I'm trying to think of the right word. I'll get it after I get through, and I'll think, yeah, that was what I was thinking about. We're not trying to suppress the gift, as it were. We just want it done in order. Amen. You may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Y'all see that? God wants everybody to benefit from this, but let's do it where everybody can be. You may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, that all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You, even as a, if you have a word, you can hold it. Y'all see that? Because in Pentecostal circles, we tend to think that when the Spirit comes on us, boom, that's it. We just take off. There's no order. I lose my will. I can't control it. It just takes me over. Are you with me? And that's not always the case. I realize that I can fall out in the Spirit. I got that. You know, I believe I can pass out in the Spirit. When I get hands laid on me, I got that. But these gifts, he's specific about these, that if you have these, you do have control still. We're not like the Greeks, and this is a Grecian church, the Corinthian church. The Greeks were into ecstatic utterances, and where the muse or whatever it would take over, the prophet, the Sibyl, the prophet, would take over and they would be out of control in another world, kind of like being possessed, you know, by a spirit. And they didn't have any control, and they would start saying things and other voices and everything, and they were out of, and all of a sudden, they come back to themselves. Well, that's not what God does. Are you with me? God allows you to work with him. You still have your will. You sense his presence. You sense a power. Yes, I got that. I love the anointing. It's real. And it's like adrenaline, but I still have my will. Are you out there? And that's what he's saying. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So whoever's given that thing. And what's the next verse? For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Hallelujah. That's the way he wants it to operate. Now, this is the one I really love. Let your women keep silent in the churches. Okay, let me explain this. I want to explain this, okay? Let me explain it. I don't want to lose you women right off the bat here. Let's take it in context. First of all, if you were to have read the 11th chapter, he tells you how women prophesy in the church. It says, when a woman prophesies, let her head be covered. In other words, hair on her head, okay? Anyway, okay. And it was a custom they would cover their heads, it was symbolic is what it was, of covering, you know. But he tells them how to prophesy in the church. So women did prophesy in the church, didn't they? Y'all remember Philip the deacon, the eighth chapter of Acts, Philip the deacon that went to Samaria. Remember him? The Bible goes later on and talks about him and said he had four virgin daughters that prophesied. Had four daughters that prophesied. So he's not saying women can't speak at all in the church. So what is he saying? Well, that's why you came to church, to find out. Let's take it apart. It says this, let women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. Uh-huh. for it is a shame for women to speak in church. What is that? What's that about? Well, in India, I've been to India before. I've spent time over there. Every church I went into in the Pentecostal tradition, and I don't know if it's true in all churches, but I know in those churches I went to, I spoke at 35, 38 churches over there I preached at. All the women sit on one side, and all the men sit on the other. And the kids in Mexico, many places the same way, and the kids sit up front. So what was going on, somebody would be preaching or teaching or sharing or whatever, and the woman would holler over at her husband and says, "What did he say? And what did he mean by that?" Right in the middle of the service. Hello. See, we lose this because we don't have this custom. But it actually makes no sense that he's saying women can't speak at all, because he tells them how to do it in the 11th chapter. But if all the women sat on one side and all the men on the other, I am not advocating that, okay? Are you kidding me, putting all those women together like that? No, no, no. Anyway, okay, no, I'm quit. It says if they will learn anything from their husbands, let them ask them when they get home. Get it? Instead of asking them while the church service is going on. Speaks volumes to anybody out here that's talking while I'm preaching. Anyway. Oh. Now I quit preaching, got to meddling, didn't I? But the point is, there shouldn't be any confusion in church. There should be understanding in church. There should be order in church. Amen. We should, everything we do, we want everybody to benefit from. We don't want to interrupt each other with the gifts. We don't want to interrupt each other trying to say, "Hey, what did he mean? What are you?" Even if we're sitting together with husband and wives, you still don't want to do that till after the service. If you have a question, you don't want to interrupt. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Because to say that women can't speak in church, well, good luck with that one, Bubba. You keep women silent in the church. I gave up a long time ago. Anyway. He is addressing a specific thing, and you have to read the context of Scripture, not just a Scripture or a half a Scripture or a soundbite. Come on, he's not running for president. This is the Word of God. You can't take soundbites. That's what they do in politics, isn't it? They just take pieces and bits, and then you don't even know the context of what was said here. So that's the, I believe the context. I think it holds with tradition and what we know of churches at that time. It makes sense with the second verse. Why would you say they couldn't speak in church? And then the next verse says, if they would learn something, ask their husband at home. That didn't make sense. You can't speak in church. He wasn't talking about them preaching. He wasn't talking about them sharing something. He was talking about them asking questions. Because if he was saying this, let's take it this way. If he was saying, let your women keep silent in church, don't let them preach in church, don't let them speak or prophesy in church, the next verse should say, if they would do that, let them prophesy to their husbands when they get home. Let them preach to their husbands when they get home. Well, dear Lord, they already do that. He wasn't talking about that. That went over real big. You didn't even catch that. Y'all see the context? It doesn't even make, the next verse makes no sense if what we're saying is they can't preach, they can't teach. But if we're saying they were asking questions, it makes perfect sense that they're interrupting with that. What? 36th verse. Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I speak to you are the commandments of the Lord. This is our church policy. This is what God has written for us in the Bible. Amen? This is how we should operate. Not according to Word of Faith tradition, Pentecostal charismatic tradition, Baptist tradition, Methodist tradition, International Outreach Church tradition. No, here is our manual. Well, there it is. Here's our manual. Amen. This is our policy. This is how we operate. This is the Word of God. Amen. He says, if any man think himself to be a prophet spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. I can't help you. That's really what he's saying. He's not being mean. It's like that old saying, I can explain this to you, but I can't make you understand. And he's saying, hey, this is the way it is. If you have a problem with it, that's your problem. This is the way it should be. You may not agree with me, but this is the way it is. You go on your merry way, but we're not, as for us, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. This is the way we're going to do it. Amen? And that's, he believes these are the things of the Lord. And he said, if you're going to be ignorant still. That's one of my favorite verses. I say that a lot to people. But anyway, no, I don't. I'm just kidding. But if somebody's arguing with you, not a bad verse. You say, well, the Bible says, let him be ignorant still. So just be ignorant and walk away. Just a thought. Maybe you don't want to do that. That may not be the good. Closes this out, and we'll close this out too. Wow, we're going to get maybe catch the Cowboys here. It's unintentional. 39th verse, wherefore, brethren, covet, desire, that means desire, have a passion for the gifts to prophesy. We want them in our church. We don't want to tone down on them. We want to tone up on them. We don't want less gifts. We want more gifts. Are you with me? We want to spread your love around. We want, you know, in fact, you pray about it. If you have something, let me know. I mean, come on, be recognized. It's not just for me or Brenda or Eva or Mari. You know, or Vivian, or Tina sometimes does. You know, any of us could be used. I mean, if you feel a stirring, then just be recognized at a certain time. Lift your hands. I think I have something. And, you know, even if it's not, we're not going to blast you, you know, unless you just say Jesus is not Lord or something, you know. And I doubt you're going to do that. But let's grow in these. Amen. So he says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Forbid not. You'll never hear me forbid tongues in the church. I may forbid you from giving a gift at a certain time because it's not proper. I may say, well, it's not the time right now. I don't feel like God's leading us that direction because that is what I am up here for. There has to be some order. Are you with me? I may ask you to sit down if you stand up and say, you know, I know you feel like you have something, but I feel like God's going another direction. Someone's got to have the final, are you with me, direction. I am up here for that purpose. I got that. But I'm not going to forbid to speak with tongues. I'm for that. I've actually had people sit down that were out of order, and they thought I was forbidden to speak with tongues and left church and never came back. Thought I was forbidding that. What I was forbidding was the disorder, not the gift. Are you out there? Sad, but true. I'm not blasting churches, but it's just the truth nonetheless. In most churches, they forbid to speak with tongues. That's sad, isn't it? That really is. And we love them. I'm not against them. But it's sad because Paul's emphatic with all this instruction and all maybe the chaos that was going on. He wants to straighten it out. He wants to put it in order, but he doesn't want to forbid it, gifts from happening. He just wants them done in order. And all this, he says, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. Last verse in the chapter, let all things be done decently and in order. He didn't say, don't do this. He said, let it be done.
That's right.
But let it be done decently and in order. Amen?